Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you know, the huge.
Scraping by?
Scraping by. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We're actually recording this on Thursday because we procrastinated.
Yeah, we'll see if it comes out today.
Yeah, God willing. We'll see.
Yeah.
How was your week? Give me your rundown.
Whoa, I didn't even think about that. It's literally been chill again. Job searching. I think I'm going to apply tomorrow for the residential treatment, though,
mm-hmm.
which I've been thinking about. And I was like, I think I'm going to do it.
Period.
Just see how it is. But I'm going to talk to my therapist. I have a meeting tonight.
Period.
So
that's a good thing to...
Final thoughts, and then I'll apply tomorrow.
Fair. Hey, the beautiful thing about... If you don't like your job, you can quit.
Facts.
I love that. And I will be utilizing that.
Yeah. That's like my number one move with jobs.
Yeah, actually. Alex one time had a job for 3 days and then he quit.
Twice.
Oh,
one
twice.
One time for 3 days, one time for 4 days on a different one. I'm not going to stick around if it's not doing it.
You should not, as you shouldn't, honestly. As you should not.
Yeah. And both of those jobs were not doing it.
No.
Today.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting.
I, like, told Cass I had this appointment today.
It was very suspect. He made it...
Yeah, because I was like, I don't want to, like, gas this up too hard ahead of time and, like, whatever. So I, like, didn't really talk about it ahead of time. But this morning, I had an appointment with a psychic.
What the fuck? Are you serious? Wait, a psychic from Colorado?
Yeah.
How did this come about?
No, she lives in Eugene, like, half the time, and half the time in Utah.
Okay.
How
did this come about? And how long has this been in the works?
Since, like, 3 days ago.
Oh, period. Period. I want to hear all about this.
Yeah. Okay, so I was reading this book. It's called Dead, Spoiler Alert, by Derek Scott. And anyway, it was just, like, it's this book by this... I've been, like, interested in this type of therapy called... IFS, which is internal family systems therapy, and I've like read a few books about it, and then I like learned a lot about it from this guy named Derek Scott's YouTube channel, and then he died like I think exactly this month, like a year ago, and then his book came out like within the last month.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it, and I was like, and a lot of it, well, there was just like a section in it that was like about like seeing a psychic. And it was literally, like, blowing my mind. So I was like, I know there's a lot of psychics out there that are, like, scammers.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I was, like, skeptical about it. But the stuff he was talking about, I was like, wow, like, need to find that person. But obviously he doesn't, like, name drop them.
Yeah.
But the stuff he was describing was wild. And then I was like, you know what? YOLO, like, let me just fucking try this out.
That is actually so fucking iconic. That is the last thing I expected, though.
Yeah. Because I've always been, like, a psychic, come on. Like.
No, yeah. We're skeptics.
Yeah. And then I read this book and I was like, wait a minute. My mind has just been expanding recently to like not cross things off or like just to be like, how the fuck would I know if that's real or not?
Fair point.
So anyway, then I like looked it up online. This is so funny. I looked it up.
You're a psychic.
I looked up psychics in Eugene. And then guess, oh my God, did you have as a Spanish teacher in college? Like, at the beginning.
Yeah. She's a psychic.
One of our Spanish teachers from my, like, Spanish year, like, Spanish 101, or my sophomore year Spanish 101 teacher was, like, on the list as, like, psychic
Shut
medium. And I was like, girl,
up. I had
stop.
No idea.
And I was like, I'm not gonna go to her.
Yeah, that's fair.
She was cool and stuff. She low-key did, like, make me go to study abroad in Spain. Or it was, like, her idea, and I was, like, she was, like, this really feels, like, right, and I was, like, wait a minute, and then I, like, looked into it, and it was kind of, like, I was, like, you know what, for sure.
Say less, girl.
Anyway, though, I saw this other woman, and she had, like, 5-star reviews as fuck, and I was, like,
I should do this.
So I, like, looked it up, and she like, had one appointment available this weekend, and it was today at 11:30. So I, like, booked it, and then I went. Or she called me this morning. She FaceTimed me this morning at 11:30. And I was like, holy shit. And then she basically, I was kind of expecting that it was more going to be, like, I, like, ask her a question, she tells me something. But she was, like, telling me stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, like, without me asking. And I was, like, oh, okay. She just, like, went on for most of the time. And then I had a chance to ask her a few different questions.
Uh-huh.
At different times. And she mostly, like, is, like, a medium is, like, her thing. Like, she connects with people who, like, have died.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't, like... Or nobody that's, like, that close to me has died, but she was, like, saying that, like, a couple people were, like, spirit guides of mine.
Uh-huh.
And she was, like, saying, like, yeah, like, your great-grandma on your mom's side. And she was, like, she, like, gave me, so she was, like, telling me about her. I didn't know her that well because she died when I was, like, in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, told me a few adjectives to describe her that are, like, not necessarily, like, I don't want to, like, expose it. But I was, like, I'm going to ask my mom if this is what she's, like, because... I'm, like, still a little bit skeptical about it.
Of course.
And I keep, like, getting on myself because I was, like, I should have asked her, like, to tell me something really specific that, like...
Only you would know about her. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she told me another one of them was my dad's dad, which I was, like, I mean, I'm, like, 20, so, like, if she didn't know, like, it would be, like, a 50-50 guess whether my grandpa was alive or not. Like, she wouldn't just know he was... dead, I feel like.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I was like, wait a minute.
That's kind of clicking.
And then she was like, yeah, I'm also seeing, like, a tall, like, dark-haired man with, like, a sharp jawline, and he has, like, been, like, guiding you through, like, many lifetimes. And I was like, oh, wow. And she was like, yeah, like, and he's Greek. And, like, you have had past lives in Greece. And I was like, oh, like, wow.
Say less. Can we make this life in Greece?
Wheels up tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't fly on a plane right now.
Yeah, I mean, fucking me neither.
And then she, like, told me some other things about, like, career-wise stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm thinking about this residential treatment job. And she was like, yeah. Like, apply for that. And then she was like, it won't last that long.
Oh, okay.
But, or she was like, you probably won't be there that long. And then she was like, yeah, like, you're gonna, she was like predicting stuff too. And I was like, well, I guess we'll see if this comes through. But she was like, yeah, like, you're probably gonna settle into your career in a different state than Oregon.
Okay.
And then.
Did you say what your career would be?
She did. Say that I would have, like, my own, like, private practice in 5 years.
Oh my god.
Which,
get on that that grad school grind. Come
I know,
on now.
I was like, damn, I have to get a master's degree. Which was kind of, like, the thought already. But I hadn't told her that. But, yeah. And then she recorded the session, so she's gonna send it to me. So that, because I don't, like, remember all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also, like, you're, like, very empathic, and yeah. You take, or, and she was like, are you anxious a lot? And I was like, yeah. And then she was like, yeah, like, a lot of it isn't yours. Yeah, like, it's other people's. And I was like, oh, like, which skeptical part of me is like, everyone's anxious, like, you could tell everyone, like, they're an empathic person or whatever. But I don't know, she was like, she would be like looking around and then be like, oh yeah, like, blah 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 is telling me to tell your mom blah blah blah, or like whatever, stuff like that. And I was like, whoa, like, this is crazy. And she was also like, what's your partner's name? And I was like, oh, I don't have one. And she was like, soon. I can see someone, like, someone's like running circles around you. And I was like, what? She was like, anytime now. But she also was like, in the, like, things are gonna end up, like, fantastically.
Say less, girl.
And I was like, that's what I
needed. That's what I needed.
I was like, yeah, needed that. That's going to be pulling me through. And then she said there's going to be some big, or, you know what? I need to, like, shut up because I can't be throwing it all out there. So we'll just say that's there. I'm excited to get the recording so I can watch it back. She said that I have a lot of spirit guides.
That's good.
Which is, like, people that are, like, on a different plane or something. It was convincing in a lot of ways, I feel like.
You're making me want to do it now. I'm like, fuck, should I go to the psychic?
So, yeah.
Damn. That's actually so fire, though, because I can't even lie. Like, a little tiny part of me has always kind of wanted to do it, but I've always been like, I don't want to drop the bag.
Yeah.
But that kind of sounds, like, fun. And,
it was fun. It was, maybe like, reassuring. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, how was your week?
Damn. Wait, I'm still, like, wrapping my brain around that. I mean, okay. Boring compared to that. The fuck? I think it's... I don't know. All I did was work. But that's, like, literally the same story. I think that's it. Yeah, I feel like I didn't do anything else. I do have a tattoo appointment on Monday that I'm super excited for. And I just got the sketches for, and they look really good. So I'm pumped. I have to drive all the way to Portland, though, to get them done. So I have to leave, like, I have to leave, like, kind of early from here to get there so I can, like, miss all the traffic and make sure I make it to my appointment on time. Mm-hmm. But I'm super pumped. That's all I can think about. Yeah, I didn't do much. We made an olive oil cake. Yeah. The fuck? Yes, never mind. We made an olive oil cake. We made two, technically. They were fire. They were actually so fucking good. On one of them...
It was lemon.
Yeah, one of them we did like a lemon icing, and then the other one we just did powdered sugar. We haven't cracked into the powdered sugar. Oh. That's a later thing. That's happening later.
Yeah.
But so good. Delicious. Yeah, it's really simple too. Yeah, not very hard. We were low-key making jokes. We were like Marie Antoinette making cakes when there's like, we can't get fucking eggs anywhere. I'm like, just let them eat cake. But other than that, I guess in the time of now, baking is not easy because I literally, this past weekend, I went grocery shopping. I went to two separate grocery stores. Neither of them had eggs. And I was like, oh, I fear. And then like a bunch of produce wasn't there either. And I was like, this feels like weird. This is making me feel weird. Yeah. This is giving like, shit's about to hit the fan vibes.
Yeah.
But.
And it has been.
But alas, we found eggs, made the cake, and it was fire. It's so good.
One of them, they're like those cheesecake pans that like clip, and one of the like bottoms wasn't clipped in, so we like poured it in and it just started like pouring out the bottom.
Yeah. So we did waste a little bit of our eggs and olive oil, which both are kind of expensive right now. But alas, they did turn out delicious. They were gorgeous too.
Cass ate with the powdered sugar top and the icing top.
It was so gorgeous.
Yeah, I need to, and like, they're like
perfectly cooked.
I had like a whole photo shoot with the cakes, and I was like, damn, I'm proud of myself right now.
Yeah.
But.
And we watched the first episode of the new season 3 White Lotus.
Yes. Fire. I have a feeling this one's going to be a good ass season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm so bad because, I mean, obviously you just want to like binge watch everything. So, but it is honestly, no, it's good that it's coming out only once a week because then it makes us like slow down. Yeah. Not over really consume, if you will. Yes. Alrighty. So our topic for today is going to be crashing out.
Well, yes.
I fear. The funny thing is, I kind of hate the term crashing out. I usually opt to say existential dread and or existential crisis, which I feel.
Crashing out is growing on me, honestly.
It is. Maybe it'll grow on me too. It's growing on me a little bit, but I fear that is the place that we are both in is. A place of crashing out, existential dread, existential crisis, if you will.
Yeah.
Low-key, I mean, I've been crashing out since the election. And before that, but, like, it's been intensified. It's been a lifetime. Yeah, it literally feels like it's been a fucking lifetime.
I think crashing out is just a universal human experience that happens at varying degrees for different people.
Yes, 1,000%. And it definitely gets intensified by certain things. i.e. the current circus that is our government.
Yeah, you crash out more when the horrors are
incomprehensible, if you will.
Yes.
So that's the place that I've been in. Yeah, basically, I don't know, just like every time I like see a news thing or like go on social media, I'm just constantly reminded of the shit show that is going on currently.
My YouTube algorithm is just bombarded with, like, what happens after you die videos.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's been a time.
And I'm, like, going to psychics. I'm, like, getting into my spiritual bag.
Yeah, that's the place of crashing out. We need to get through somehow, and this is the point of crashing out that we have reached is anybody. Somebody please save me. Save me from myself right now. Yeah, it's been a time. I feel like a lot of us feel that way, though, that the feeling of perpetual crashing out. I did crash out pretty hard this week. I called my mom Or like, I think I did sent her like maybe a semi-concerning text and she immediately called me and I was like, oh, ooh. Thank you, Mom, for being a real one. I know you're listening and you did call me when I was in a place of crashing out. But basically, this conversation that I had with her kind of sparked the idea for this week's topic. And basically, yeah, we were just talking about the hellstorm that is going on right now in this country and the feelings of hopelessness and dread. Yeah. Yes. And fear.
Yeah.
It's pretty common. Basically, as y'all know, I graduated from college, I don't know, a while ago now. And I've been like trying to find a direction, which I think a lot of us are. I know Alex is also in that place of trying to find a direction. It feels really big and scary and hard right now. And I'll say it from personal experience. I like, obviously, and we went over this, but if this is your first time listening to an episode, I studied poli-sci in college. And my whole plan, basically my entire life, was to like somehow be involved in politics. I've loved learning about politics for literally as long as I can remember. I've always been super entranced by it. And I'm now in a place of like kind of wanting like literally nothing to do with it anymore, I guess. Just like finally, I guess, feeling the burnout because shit has just so exponentially hit the fan in my eyes. And like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to really not identify with the Democratic Party anymore. Yes. I'm going over the Republican side, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Abso-fucking-lutely not. Yeah, and I was just talking to my mom about that and, like, not really knowing what direction I want to go in anymore because the kind of, like, my whole life plan has been thrown out the window, so to say.
Yeah.
And we had, like, a pretty raw conversation about it, and she was just like, you know, like, I honestly can't really imagine what it would be like to be your age right now in this shitstorm. And I was like, that's so real. Thank you, queen. I appreciate that honesty.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was like, you know, do what you can, you know, try out different things. If you don't want to be involved in politics right now, like, don't do it. Like, do what feels right. And I was like, yeah, I think that's the place to go. But, you know, and nonetheless, it was basically kind of like a conversation where it's like, you know, find the things that like you're still passionate about and like still get joy out of. And the thesis of the entire conversation was like, you need to be able to find joy even in times like this where everything literally feels so hopeless and bleak, because mm-hmm. joy is not only going to be the thing that gets you through it, but it is also an active form of resistance against the horrors that we are currently facing. And that conversation really stuck with me, and I was like, that it made me feel a lot better. So that's going to be kind of our topic today. Crashing out and trying to get through it with finding joy.
Yeah, I'm glad you had that conversation.
Yeah, no, it was a super good conversation, honestly. And another thing I crashed out about that I kind of wanted to talk about. The initial crash out started because one day after work, I was making dinner, thinking about the horrors as I do. And I literally was like sitting there. I was like, wow, my mom, when she was 22... for the most part had more rights than I do currently, which was like an insane thought because that was a long time ago. Not that long, Mom. You're not that old. Love you. But like my mom in 1996, she was 22. And I decided to do a little bit of, I was just curious to see if my thought had any validity behind it. And it kind of does. Obviously, like not in every context. In other contexts, like I as a woman do have more rights today than my mom did in 1996. But particularly, obviously, with regards to Roe, 1996, Roe was still in place. 2025, it is not. So that one is not good. And apparently there's like a bunch of national abortion bans being proposed to the House right now, which is also terrifying. But then I kind of got on my little thinking brain and I was thinking about I don't know if anyone's heard of this website. Any poli-sci major definitely knows it. But Freedom House, basically, it's a website that annually tracks the level of freedom that a country has. So it's a really good resource to kind of see, you know, when democracies are starting to plunder or whatever. Or on the opposite end, if countries are starting to become more free or more democratic. And I was like, I'm curious about the United States. So I looked it up. And apparently in 1996, the Freedom House score for the United States was a 94 out of 100, which is pretty damn good. A solid A, if you will.
Yeah.
And now in 2025, it scores an 83 out of 100. So it's now going to a B minus, if you will.
Damn. So, what does it compile? Like laws and things?
Basically a bunch of stuff. It's like freedom of the press, civil liberties, equality, income inequality or equality. It's like a whole bunch of things. Democratic norms and practices, integrity of said institutions. Yeah, it's actually a super good resource, and it's super interesting to look at. And they, like I said, they do this every single year where they reanalyze every single country. That I think the only country is that's not part of it is like Russia and North Korea. But the rest of them are part of it. They're like, you can't have access to that information, actually, which is not surprising.
Yeah. That's telling about what their score
would be. Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a telltale sign of what your score would be. But I thought that was kind of interesting and depressing, but interesting nonetheless. Yes. So, yes. I don't know. In these times of really shitty things happening that feel really big and out of our control, the best thing that we can do is whatever we can do in any moment. Kind of thing.
True.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok actually talking about that. It's like, it was this woman and she was just like, I know that it all feels like super big and scary right now, and it's okay to like take breaks and like take a fucking mental health check and just do what you can. And even if that's like sending an email or reposting a TikTok about something that you're like is happening right now, anything that you can do is good enough, and that is enough. And I think that's like kind of, at least that's like the thing that I fall into, is like, I feel like I'm not doing enough, but I also don't know how to do more.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of us feel like that. Yeah. Because it's scary. Like, you want to do everything that you possibly can, but you don't have the resources nor the power to actually do anything.
And the energy. It feels like.
And the energy, that too. Yeah. It's really exhausting to have to keep up with all this shit.
And it's like, what the fuck could I... Yeah, like, in this position, what... I mean, there are things I can do. I don't want to, like, be like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it takes, like, big-scale things to make big-scale changes. And that is usually, like, a slow process. And it's, like, I just want to fix everything now.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
And so it's just... I don't know. It's hard to wrap your mind around it all and figure out what you can do.
Yeah.
Or to settle... Or to be satisfied with doing something that isn't going to make a... huge shift immediately.
Exactly. It's definitely reshifting your mindset with regards to how to make change. And yeah, I've definitely been thinking about it a lot of like, what can I do to make changes and hopefully like spread education and help with regards to the current crisis that we are facing and will be facing for the next 4 years, unfortunately. And yeah, that's the conclusion that I came to, is just to be able to do what I can when I can.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, hopefully I get this job. I feel like that would be helpful.
Yeah, that's would be super helpful.
But nonprofits are kind of getting their funding slashed a lot, so.
Yes.
I was like, well, we'll see.
I know. But... Me and you who both want to do nonprofit work, and we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean...
Do what you can.
You literally just have to do what you can. And if sometimes you can't do anything, then that's okay too. It's okay to fucking unplug for a second, because a lot of it is, it's extremely overwhelming and very scary and daunting.
And it's so helpful to talk to someone about it.
It like, really when you're is.
Talking to your mom, like that's, it's like, damn, like getting some perspective on it, or just like saying it out loud helps. Cause I always like spin stuff up in my mind, and then it's like, damn, like when I talk about it, it is, I just see it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful.
Yeah, I definitely feel like talking about it makes it feel a little, like, less hopeless. Unfortunately, with, like, social media and, like, the constant news cycle, those feelings of hopelessness return really quickly, unfortunately.
No, I'm scrolling through my TikTok, and I'm literally, like, laughing at the funniest shit on earth, and then I'm, like, crying because I'm seeing something that's literally making me cry on TikTok. It's, like,
horrifying. Yep. Yep.
And...
Precisely.
I don't know if we're meant for that type of emotional... roller coaster.
Oh, we're definitely not.
I don't think so.
We like wonder why our anxiety, or why our generation has so much fucking anxiety. It's that. It's literally that.
Yeah.
Our emotions, like, we literally have no, like, we don't have any control anymore over our emotions. Like, we get like the fucking the highest highs and the lowest lows in a matter of like 30 seconds, and it's fucked up.
You feel it all.
You really do. There's like no escaping feeling at all. Unfortunately.
I saw this, or I was listening to this podcast, and it was like talking about this, it was like Ram Dass's podcast. I don't know if you know, I feel like I've mentioned it before, but he was like talking about this interview where someone was like, came up to him and was like, are you happy? And he was like, thought about it, and he was like, yeah. And then they were like, are you sad? And he was like, yeah. And they were like, are you hopeful about the future? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, and then they were like, are you hopeless? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, like,
wow.
Like, it's like, yeah, like, I'm all the things. Like, some, like, of course I'm hopeful and I'm also hopeless and I'm happy and I'm also sad and I'm whatever.
That's, like, incredibly powerful, actually.
I know. I was like, damn, like, and it also, it feels really, like, you don't want to get, like, too, like, sucked into it, but it is really helpful to have a conversation with someone and for them to be like, yeah, like, that is, like, really hard or, like, that is really painful. And to let you, to not be like, no, it's fine, like, blah, blah, blah. To just, like, let you be hopeless or whatever for a little while. Or feel, like, no, just know that it's, like, difficult or whatever. And it's also, I like that part of that podcast because it's, like, it's, when I'm hopeless, I'm not only hopeless. Like, I'm also, like, there's also a hopeful part of me or there's also a happy part of me or whatever. So, there's just a lot to have.
It's a lot to juggle all at once.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot.
Another thing that my mom was talking about when we were on the phone having this conversation is how joy can be a form of resistance as well. And honestly, joy is a necessary thing during this kind of period of time. It's still important. It's important, of course, to care and still have your empathy and not lose sight of empathy with regards to these situations that are currently unfolding in this country, because empathy is always necessary in these situations. But it is also, like I said before, it's okay to unplug and it's okay to still experience joy. And I think that's a really hard thing to contend with right now, because it feels like, it almost feels like, at least in my mind, that experiencing joy right now is, it has like a negative connotation in my mind, because I will maybe experience a hint of joy and I'm like, oh my god, but what about all of these horrible fucking things that are happening and people literally being like ripped away from their fucking families and people not being recognized as human beings by the federal government and all of this like horrible fucking shit that's going on. But if we are going to make it out of these next 4 years still in one piece, we have to be able to allow ourselves to experience joy and happiness, and we have to experience the range of emotions, as horrible as it is and as uncomfortable as it feels. It's so important to still feel these things and like,
yeah,
to be able to experience joy. And I don't know, the way I was talking to my mom about it, and I'm assuming you've like, felt it. It's hard to like find joy sometimes.
Well, yeah,
when shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah, it is. And I think particularly for, like, marginalized people, it's an act of resistance, because it's, like, the systems are, like, trying to crush you in so many ways, or, like, and you're, and yet you're still, like, I, like, deserve to be here, and I'm, like, enjoying things. Like, I'm, like, still experiencing joy at different things. And
my existence is valid. My joy is valid too.
Yeah. It's like a, it's like a testament to the resilience of people too. It's like you, and it's just like, wow, like so much fucked up stuff can be happening and you can still experience joy at different things, which is like, wow, like I'm not losing hope.
No. Yeah. That's the thing. That's, like, joy keeps us centered and it keeps us hopeful. That actually reminds me, this podcast is us being like, that reminded me of a TikTok. But it does, it reminds me of this TikTok that I saw that was, I think it was from a documentary, like a clip from a documentary, but it was talking about how drag queens and like just the gay community in general during the HIV AIDS epidemic would find these, and I'm pretty sure this was in reference to like finding joy today too, but like they were experiencing like their fucking community was dying and nobody gave a shit, and but they were still finding ways to experience joy. And like we would go, you know, to the hospitals and be supportive of our community, and then in the afternoon we would go and protest, and then at night we would go to dance clubs. Like we had to find the balance, and like we would do that as a form of resistance as well. Like there was intention with everything, but we also were intentional about finding joy and being able to experience it. And I thought that was so powerful because, like, the atrocities that obviously happened during that period of time, we didn't experience it, obviously, but I can only imagine how fucking hopeless it must have felt.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're in this position today of also a completely different situation, but also, like, these overwhelming feelings of hopelessness. But being able to find joy in that is not only absolutely necessary to keep us grounded, but also a form of resistance with regards to that. So it just makes me, like, it makes me, like, more hopeful that even the little things that we do that are just simply to get gratification and happiness out of it can still be so impactful and important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. But yeah. So what are things that you like to do that bring you joy? I think that would be an interesting resource.
Yeah, things that bring me joy. I love to hang out with my friends. I love to be in the sun, which is a rare occasion here in where we live.
Yes.
Here in
where we live.
Pacific Northwest.
Yes, it is a very rare occasion.
It's dark and cloudy a lot.
Today, though, the sun is shining for us, actually.
But I want it to be warm.
Yeah, me too.
That really makes a difference. It's like I am, like, sliving when it's like sliving. The sun is out and it's warm and I'm like at a river or something and it's like, wow. Like,
life is great.
Life is so good. okay, but right now I can't do that because it's not warm.
No, unfortunately it's not.
What I can do is still hang out with friends and still go rock climbing. That's like the main way that I'm like getting exercise right now, and it's fun, and that's like really unusual in my experience to find a form of exercise that's fun.
Real,
because I don't enjoy like lifting weights and like running and like whatever. But rock climbing is fun. I like swimming. But I don't have access to a pool anymore.
No.
So I'm climbing. And I think hanging out with friends, like talking with people, is like, and like laughing with people and like joking around is like my favorite thing, or like the thing that brings me the most joy, I think, currently. And yeah, I think like pretty much most people, maybe everyone, I love to laugh.
Alex loves, we love to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I feel like those are all really good things, and they're really accessible things too. Like,
yeah. Except I remember like during like COVID, it was like, I can't hang out with any friends.
Oh, what that was the trenches.
Am I gonna do?
Yeah.
But I like had my like brother and like my parents, so I wasn't like completely alone. Some people were. Don't know how they did that. Honestly, incredible work.
God's strongest soldier.
What about you?
Yeah, I try to find joy. Yeah, the same thing. Like, I find joy in like talking or hanging out with my friends and like my coworkers. Shout out to the ones that listen to the podcast. You guys are great. Love you.
Hope to meet you one day.
Yeah, definitely. But like, I love having like even when I'm working and maybe doing something that is not enjoyable, like that makes it so much better, is to be able to like joke around and like have conversations and just like laugh with people that are also going through things, I guess.
Yeah.
That was so deep. That was
just like
so,
people that like, are like going through things.
People that are like going through things. This is my year to like experience like things. Anyways. I love doing that. I love, yeah, rock climbing brings me a lot of joy. Baking brings me a lot of joy. The dogs are, the girls are fighting.
They are. Watching TikTok, it's always a mixed bag because there's always like sad stuff, but I laugh so fucking hard sometimes at TikTok. And like, I especially,
that'd be
like,
bringing me joy sometimes.
Yeah, it literally makes me so much joy. Like, and it happens on Instagram Reels and stuff too, unfortunately. I hate that those places are bringing joy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, because they're also like crumbling my brain probably.
Literally.
But I love like when I come across a video that's just so funny, and then I like open the comments and they're hilarious. And I'm like, wow, like, people are so funny.
I love people right now.
I am like, I live in the world with these people.
And what I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed.
So blessed.
What else? Oh, honestly, dancing brings me joy. We need to go dancing soon.
Yeah, we do.
Like, desperately.
Yeah, that's I was so like dancing fun. In the living room before you came over.
Period. I was dancing yesterday when I was cleaning up our apartment.
Yeah, it's yeah. so fucking, it's like, just like to like, because I feel like kind of inhibited sometimes and I'm like, especially like when I'm like out somewhere, like where people are seeing me and I don't want to be like,
perceived.
Dancing or like fucking something like that.
Yeah.
Then I'm like alone in my room and like, I like put my earbuds in and it's so fun to just like, move around and random. Like I'm not like doing a specific, I'm just like throwing my body around.
Yeah. Thrashing around, if you will.
Around. And it's so fun.
No, I love a good, yeah, that's what I'll do that too. Whenever I'm cleaning, I'll like put on some music, like blast. My neighbors probably fucking hate me, but like I'll blast it and just like clean and dance. And it's so much fun. Love yeah. dancing.
I feel like I'm like, I want to get to the place where I can like feel comfortable and natural, like dancing, like in a like bar or club or something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like when there's like people around, I'm like worried about like, do I look fucking stupid right now? Like, am I like doing. Like, and then I, like, overthink it, and then I'm, like, not enjoying, like, being in my body anymore, and I'm, like, what am I appearing like?
Do you remember that time, though?
Unless I, like, take a bunch of shots.
Unless you're fucking hammered.
And then I, but then, yeah, so.
You know what, though? On that topic, a core memory for me, do you remember when we, I don't know, it was one of the times we went to Rennie's this year, and, which is a local bar, and me and you were, like, fucking busting it down on the dance floor, and it was so much fun. We were, like, literally, like, hands in hands, like thrashing, and it was so fun. It was so much fun, and I remember that moment. I didn't give a fuck.
No, yeah, who was I looking? That too.
I didn't care. I was like, who cares?
Yeah, that was fun.
No, yeah, stuff like that like brings me an immense amount of joy. What else? Oh, blasting music. That's another one. Oof. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Either when I'm sad or when I'm happy, like fucking, like it killing my eardrums loud.
Makes me crash out. When I listen to really loud music.
Really? Yeah,
if I'm already, like, upset, it's gonna, like, drive me into a trench.
That's fair.
To be honest.
That's fair.
Or it just, like, ungrounds me when I listen to really loud music. And I used to very much use music as a, like, dissociating tool.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, be like, let me throw this on really loud, shut my eyes. Get out of here
and not think not be here
and then so now it's like hard some like a lot of music now will like immediately just like take me away and then I'm like damn like so now I like have to like have like the music that I listen to now I like never do that with so that I it isn't associated with like dissociating.
Mm-hmm.
So then I like am like there.
That's fair. That makes sense. No, it makes sense. There's but, I think we talked about this once. Yeah, I definitely have songs that also kind of like that I was listening to when I was in the trenches and I can't listen to them anymore because they bring me back to that place of emotional. Yeah, no, there's literally songs I've had to block on Spotify because I'm like, well, I can literally never hear that song again. So I'm going to limit my access to that, actually. I
feel that will cause a major aggression.
Yeah, I fear if I'm driving a car, I might drive it off a bridge. So I need to, that needs to get the fuck out of here. Can't be doing that. But good music that doesn't have that bad association. Love blasting that shit. Love. This is such a basic. I love shopping. Shopping brings me joy.
Consuming.
No, I know. And I hate being a consumer, but like, oh, you know what? No, I'll rephrase. Thrifting. Thrifting brings me joy. Love. Like, oh, there's no better feeling. Literally. There's no better feeling than going to a thrift store and finding something. You're just like, oh my fucking God. Like, that is perfection.
And you try it on and it fits.
And you're just like, eating. Ugh. Yeah. No, anytime. Love. That brings me like an immense amount of joy. That's like kind of our suggestion is like, find the things that bring you joy in moments when you feel like quite literally like nothing is. It's also, it's okay to feel hopeless and it's totally okay to, you know, sit in that feeling for a second because it's really, it's very human to feel that way, especially when shit feels like it's really falling apart. But also try to find things that bring you joy in life, whatever that may be.
True. Yeah. Oh my God, yesterday I was journaling, or I was just, like, remembering about, because, I was just remembering about this, like, childhood experience, because I was, like, thinking about watching this movie, and it was, like, it's some, like, kids movie about, like, dinosaurs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was remembering this when I was, like, 4 or 5, that, like, me and my brothers and my parents, like, my parents were like, let's have a slumber party, whatever that means. I don't even know exactly what that means, but they were like, let's just buy a bunch of like popcorn and candy and then like put all the sleeping bags and blankets in the living room and, like, watch a movie.
Wait, that's so cute.
And it was so fun. And I was just, like, I just remember it feeling so, like, comforting and warm. And, like, it felt like they were, like, kids, too, because they were, like, don't want to call them old, but, like, my adult parents are, like, let's have a slumber party and, like, eat a bunch of candy and, like, lay on the floor and, like, watch a movie. That's and I was like, we should thing. Do that. Like, I want to, like, watch, like, Ice Age or something and just, like,
buy, like, love Ice Age. Candy. I'm always down and, like, to watch that movie.
Like, get all the blankets out and shit.
That's a good ass idea, actually.
I was like, next time I need to propose an idea, it's going to be a fucking slumber party.
No, we're doing bring back slumber parties. That sounds so fun. Can't even lie. When I went to the bar after we went to the bars last week.
Yeah.
Me and Michael came home and literally watched The Lorax in its entirety.
Yes.
like eyes glued to the screen for 2 fucking hours at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And yeah. I fully finished the movie. I was like, damn, that was fucking fire. Like,
it is.
I needed to see that.
I love an animated movie sometimes too.
No,
there's something so comforting about it. Certain types of animation. Do not fucking show me The Polar Express.
No. It's horrific. That's a cursed movie, and I stand on that.
So
I
scary.
I stand on that.
So eerie. Like, the way that people move is, like, super disturbing.
So, yeah. The conclusion is, shit is, in fact, hitting the fan, but there's still pockets of joy. The conclusion is also, you need to have a sleepover.
Yeah.
I fear that's something that we all need to do.
Slumber party as fuck.
Slumber party as fuck. So much fucking candy. So much soda. So much popcorn. All the junk food.
Get a grape Olipop.
No, Ollie. Also, yeah, no. Fuck Poppy. Poppy, like, did you see that on TikTok?
No.
Poppy, oh my God, this one pissed me off. In the midst of our current financial situation in this country, Poppy sent out a bunch of, like, giant refrigerators to all these influencers filled with Poppy. Influencers. And people were like, why didn't you send that to, I don't know, like, hospitals for, like, nurse staff or, like,
maybe, like, firefighters in California.
Yeah, literally anyone else, maybe, like, that is a normal fucking person. So fuck Poppy, get Olipop. They're better. And they taste better, also.
Yeah, we're literally going to get an Olipop.
Right, we are going to go get an Olipop right now.
And on
this.
The note of saying, like, fuck different companies, REI has been flopping.
Yeah,
we
this is a
just
good...
watched something about them, like, trying to, like, union bust and, like, screwing around in lots of different ways, so look that up, because REI doesn't seem like the type of company that would do that, because they're,
it
like
really
a co-op
doesn't.
And whatnot, but, like,
flop REI in its flop era in 2025. So on that note, yeah, fuck REI, don't buy their shit anymore for a little bit. Let's make their pockets hurt.
Yeah. See a psychic if you feel so inclined.
Yeah, seriously. I can't even lie. Now that Alex has seen one, I'm like, fuck, maybe. I'm thinking about it too. Well, I guess that concludes our episode for this week.
Yeah. We hope you guys liked it, and we hope you come back next Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, again, because we never plan these things ahead, we don't know what our topic is going to be. If you have any suggestions, leave it in a comment or something.
For real.
For real.
Okay, and with that,
may you scrape by with ease.